Now that, my friends, was one procession of palm branches, was it not? Awesome. Thank you, kids. I think first service got theirs done in about 30 seconds, so a few more kids today here in second service. Well, welcome, folks, to the Lord's house this morning. And please, as always, sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors. This does help us serve our church family and visitors. And this afternoon at 3 o'clock, we welcome the children and youth of our congregation to attend an Easter egg hunt and party that will begin at 3 o'clock in the fellowship hall. And for your generous contributions of candy to fill the eggs for the Easter egg hunt, we are truly appreciative. And please join us then this Thursday, April 6th, for our Maundy-Thursday service at 7 o'clock p.m. in the sanctuary. And during the service this year, we will draw our study of the Passion of Christ to a close with an understanding of the blue moon that occurred at the time of Christ's crucifixion. And in this Saturday, April 8th, the day before Easter, at 10 o'clock a.m., we welcome you to join us in the fellowship hall for trimming of the flowers that will be used for the flowering of the cross on Easter Sunday morning. And we got a busy schedule on Easter morning as well, on April 9th. Please join us for the sunrise service at 6:45 at the front of the sanctuary, followed by Easter breakfast provided by the Ikrit family at 7 a.m. in the fellowship hall. Then our children will be flowering the cross at both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock a.m. services while the congregation sings resurrection hymns and will be transforming the cross from a symbol of death to a symbol of resurrection and life. And for your generous contributions to purchase the fresh cut flowers, we thank you. There will be a flyer in the Easter Sunday bulletin that will indicate persons being honored or remembered with the contributions received. Then during the 9:45 a.m. Sunday school hour next week on Easter morning, we will not have Sunday school classes. Instead, we'll gather in a fellowship hall for cake and coffee. It'll be a great chance to welcome Angela Bounds as our new accompanist, as that will be her first Sunday. And that will also be my final Sunday here at Berry. And so I'd certainly value shaking some hands during that time as well. Okay, may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Rejoice, rejoice, people of Zion. Shout for joy, you people of Jerusalem.
Look, your king is coming to you. He comes triumphant and victorious.
But humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Your king will make peace among the nations.
He will rule from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. We'll now sing hymn number 330, all stanzas of Alleluia, Hear God's Story.
Alleluia, hear God's story, still unfolding with each dawn. Taste the wine and body broken, God's creative love lives on. Who the neighbor, who the hungry, who is thirsty for shalom? God of journey in your story, lead us with a neighbor home. Alleluia, sing the story, God's great faith. Sing the power of Jesus' name. Who the neighbor, who the listener, who has ears to hear our song? God of history, tune our voices, make our hopeful witness strong. Alleluia, dance the song.
we bow for a word of prayer. Merciful and loving God, as we gather here on this Palm Sunday, we realize the coming Messiah was seen by many in different ways on that original Palm Sunday in Jerusalem. There were various expectations for a chosen Messiah, just as many of us have different expectations today. We come from different ethnic backgrounds with different political beliefs, with our various emotions and some raw feelings, and we lay them before you now, just as Christ laid down his life before us on that cross. May we feel the presence now of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we begin our worship this morning here at Berry. It's in his name that we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let's take a few moments to greet and welcome those around us this morning. All right, please be seated. Please be seated, folks. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
And they just keep coming. I love it. Hi, guys. Not a peep? Not even one hi? Can we try that again? Hi, guys. Thank you. Wow. You guys did such a great job bringing those palms up. That was awesome. Do you know why we did that? Why do we wave our palms? Why do we come in and bring our palms in? Do you know? Because this is called Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the day when we celebrate Jesus returning to Jerusalem. And all of the Christians in Jerusalem, and probably a lot of the people who weren't Christians yet, are waving palms and singing hallelujah, and they're putting palms down for the donkey to walk on, because they think that Jesus has come to be the king in Jerusalem. They don't know that before the week is over, Jesus will be crucified. They don't understand that. They think when Jesus has promised them all this stuff, that he promised to be their savior, that he would be their king, they think he's going to live in the castle and he's going to take the guards and the people aren't going to be slaves anymore. The Jewish people, see, the Jewish people are out there waving palms too. They're all really happy. They don't understand. Jesus' kingdom isn't here on earth, is it? Jesus doesn't live in a castle. No. No. He doesn't have a bunch of soldiers. No. No. That is silly. Jesus' kingdom is in heaven. And that's because Jesus' kingdom is forever. Kings and queens here on earth, they're only here for a little while. And then another king and queen come, and new princes and princesses. But Jesus, he reigns in his kingdom forever and ever. And someday, we get to be in his heaven with him. That will be so awesome, won't it? When we can be up there and we can just be celebrating all the time. Ah, yeah. Okay. Shall we have a little prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of triumph for our Lord and Savior, this glorious day that starts our Holy Week, and all of the things that we have to be grateful for our Lord and Savior for. We thank you that we are able to learn and understand, and thank you for the sacrifices that you have made, Lord. We pray that each and every one of us take these things into our heart and remember them always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Let's go downstairs without ruining everything. Okay.
As we go into the Lord's presence this new week, certainly want to lift up a word of thanks to all of you who helped with the preparations for our service that we had yesterday for Lois Berry. In Lois's passing at 99 and a half years, she was our oldest member here in the church, and even by membership, having been a member here for 81 years, she was the oldest member of Berry by far. But many thanks to all of you who were here for the service yesterday. We want to lift up Joe Weekly and his family, as Joe's heart procedure that was supposed to take place last week has been put on kind of a holding pattern right now due to some non-medical details, but we hope all that gets resolved soon. And we also want to lift up Val Stringer, Debbie Buzinski, and Mary Otto. They are all over at Ignite, just west of the church here. Mary Otto, that will now be her residence. And so we certainly would encourage you to go by and see her. And Jake, her son, is having a bit of difficulty today. He'd been so busy taking care of some details with a move that he's kind of aggravated that hip that just had surgery. So we hope he'll be able to make some good progress beyond that here in the next couple of days. We want to lift up Randy Squires, father of Jacob, as Randy is now home. We're grateful for that. Jerry, we keep you and Betty in prayer. We're delighted that you're here this morning. We want to lift up Ron Kennedy and Susan Hanks and Leonard. We're certainly keeping Vicki in our prayers as she continues to be in Mississippi. We lift up Amy Roberts in the midst of her continued treatment and recovery. Rihanna and Chris Ralston and John Adams. John, we keep you in prayer every day for sure. In Doris McGeehee's family, we lift up her sister and brother-in-law, Anita and Kurt, in Germany, and we're grateful that Doris was back from Germany and here at the 8:30 service. And Linda, we are keeping your sister Donna in prayer, as well as Olin, the father-in-law of Linda's daughter, Lisa, as he's beginning treatment. So just keep him in prayer every day. And Perla, we're lifting up Perla's daughter, Anna Marie, their friend Patty Nelson, and certainly Perla's niece Michelle Avails. I'm not seeing Perla this morning. Oh no, there you are. You're in the back, Perla. Bless you. You know, I forget the choir's here sometimes, don't I? Bless you guys. Good to see you, Perla. So those are our folks to remember this week. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Holy and loving God, we offer you praise as we're privileged to assemble in your house of worship this Palm Sunday morning. Hearkening back to the first time that palm branches were waved before Jesus as he began his journey on the donkey of peace from the Garden of Gethsemane to the gates of Jerusalem, we know the hearts of many were filled with anticipation as they hoped that Jesus was indeed their king, through whom they would be freed from the rule of Roman tyranny. So also on our day, as in theirs, as people of our time experience the tyranny of evil forces, we too wish that our earthly societies could also be freed from the tragedies and burdens of our day. We grow weary of the multiple occasions in which innocent people, young and old, become casualties and victims at the hands of evil perpetrators. For comfort and renewal of those who experience the loss of dear loved ones and those who struggle to recover from injuries, we once again seek, O God, your Spirit's comfort and strength. And just as in Jesus' time, we in our time also realize, loving God, that humanity's perceptions of who Jesus is and what is the fulfillment of your will through his example often differs from your true desires as we become consumed by our own personal interest. But as we make our journey through this Holy Week, may each of us be drawn ever closer to a greater comprehension of your will and purposes for humanity as a whole and even for us individually, that in meekness and humility we may genuinely exclaim, as did our Lord Jesus as he faced the anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, O God, but thy will be done." We offer this prayer on this Palm Sunday morning as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
For quite some time, Ray Palmer battled through illness. In the midst of his struggle, he was compelled to write the verse of a poem so that through his faith he might find comfort. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. Other verses followed, and he proceeded to write them into a small book that he carried with him for further encouragement. Several years later, Ray Palmer met Lowell Mason just by chance on a street in Boston. Mr. Mason, who was known throughout the city for introducing music education in public schools, was looking for a hymn that he might use in a new collection. Mr. Palmer volunteered his poem, and Mr. Mason set the poem to music, thus creating a very personal hymn that inspires us all to look to Christ and find great comfort. May our looking to Christ on this Palm Sunday bring each of us great assurance and comfort as well, for Christ is indeed the Lamb of Calvary, our Savior, divine. Our hymn of communion, number 576, we'll sing all stanzas of My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Apostle Paul, when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Mary leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather for communion with our church family, we want to say thank you for your sacrifice on the cross to save us from sin. We sincerely appreciate you for it. And in your name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share.
Mm-hmm.
Paul declares in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, that in him we have redemption through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to his riches and grace. As Christ our Lord has offered so much for our salvation in thanksgiving, we give a portion of our resources for the benefit of God's purposes here on earth. Lana leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this most beautiful morning and the reminder of you everywhere we look at this time of year. We're just so grateful for that. We're grateful for everybody in this sanctuary this morning and for their presence and just their desire to serve you and worship you and praise you, and we're so grateful for that. So grateful for the leadership of our church, and we're so grateful for the genuine concern and willingness for our givers to give to those less fortunate. May you bless this offering now for those who give and those who receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you this morning, this is John's Gospel, 12th chapter, verses 9 through 19. A large number of people heard that Jesus was in Bethany, so they went there, not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from death. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus too. Because of his account, many Jews were rejecting them and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come for the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches from the palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord! God bless the King of Israel!" Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says, "Do not be afraid, city of Zion, here comes your king riding on a young donkey." And of course, that's a reference to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. His disciples did not understand this at the time, but when Jesus had been raised to glory, they remembered that the scripture said this about him and that they had done this for him. The people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out from the grave and raised him from death, had reported what had happened. That was why the crowd met him, because they heard that he had performed this miracle. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, we are not succeeding at all. Look, the whole world is following him." May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, please. Merciful and loving God, as we hear from your word this Palm Sunday, may we truly see Christ for who he is, the Lamb of God, who has freed us from the burden of sin and death and offered us the one true avenue to your eternal presence. For this truth, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Of all the gospel accounts of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on Lambing Day for this Passover preparation that is underway, it is only John's gospel here in the text that I just read to you that tells of the raising of Lazarus from the tomb and of the crowd of people that followed Jesus from Bethany to the Garden of Gethsemane. As again, some of these verses say, a large number of people heard that Jesus was in Bethany, and so they went there, not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from death. This was a phenomenal event, and thousands of people were drawn just to the idea that they wanted to see Lazarus for themselves. And as the text continues on, verses 17 and 18, the people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from death had reported what had happened. And that was why the crowd met him, because they heard that he had performed this miracle. But what we must appreciate is that the raising of Lazarus from the dead, this had not made an easy situation for Lazarus. Yes, he was now alive. Yes, he was now able to return to his family home and be with his sisters. But what we must appreciate is that now Lazarus has a bullseye on his back. There are Jewish officials who want to see him dead because of the absolute testimony that his living presence offers to the resurrection. You know, we never really find out what happens to Lazarus. I want to talk to him when we get to the kingdom. What was that like for you? What was that like? But it was not easy. There's opposition against him, but here throngs of people are coming, not just to see Jesus, but also we must appreciate the fact that, they are hearing again of this resurrection story, and they want to see this person. And of course, as we go on, we know that the Passover event was one of three compulsory festivals that Jewish people were required to attend if they lived within a certain mileage from Jerusalem. In addition to that requirement, which again, what you must understand, that begins to fill up the place in and of itself. Certainly, anyone who could afford to go to Jerusalem, even if they were in further parts of the land of Israel, would want to make this journey. And it was definitely the case that every good, committed Jewish person wanted to be in Jerusalem for at least one major festival sometime in their lifetime, and would save up the resources to be able to do that. You know, the closest equivalent we have to that idea is like young families wanting to go to Disneyland, right? Save up, and then go. Well, so we went to Disneyland. We bypassed all that. I grew up down in San Antonio, you know, where we had plenty of parks and places like that. Last thing I'd want to do is spend a lot of money waiting in line, right? But being a Jewish community, this was a big, big deal, being able to be there, and certainly the Passover was the pinnacle event. In fact, what we must appreciate, this is difficult for us to understand, But especially during the Passover, it was not uncommon to have as many as 2 million people in this vicinity. Now, we've gone through a couple of Super Bowl wins and a World Series. We kind of know what it's like to have a 500,000 folks in downtown Kansas City, but it's just for a brief time. Imagine getting 1 million folks into Kansas City and providing all the housing for them over the course of a week or more. Oh my, that would be a task. And of course, this was back in ancient times, long before we had all these methods we have of accommodating people. Imagine what it was like having a 2 million people there in Jerusalem, my goodness. Now, Bethlehem was only about 1.5 miles from the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Garden of Gethsemane was just kind of a walk down a valley in order to get up to the wall of the city of Jerusalem, and of course right into the temple grounds there. And so what we must appreciate is that there are thousands of pilgrims here who are on hand for the Passover, and a great stir has taken place because so many people had gotten the word about the raising of Lazarus in Bethany, just a short distance away. But yet what we must appreciate is that every one of these folks who were there, and as they certainly had heard about Jesus, they all had their own particular expectation about who Jesus was and what they were hoping for in him. Now, what we know for certain is that here, Jesus has decided that he would enter into the city on a particular day. We now call this day Palm Sunday. But in Jesus' day, this Sunday before the Passover was actually called Lambing Day. It was the day that every Jewish family would select the lamb that was used for the Passover meal that coming Thursday, which of course for us is our Monday Thursday. And every lamb would be consumed by about 10 to 12 folks. So if you were a small family like, you know, Carrie and I are, well, we would join up with some other families. Or if you were one big family, you know, your whole family would partake. But what we must understand is that when we are thinking about the number of lambs who were used for the Passover, we're looking at about 256,000 lambs for this Passover. Boy, you want to get a little bit of action on that stock, don't you? Right? Imagine that. And yet, Jesus chose to enter into Jerusalem on Lambing Day, and he was striving to communicate to his followers in a very, very symbolic way, in a time period when very little was actually written. And of course, there's no media like we know of it today. Just the visual action of him going from the Mount of Olives down through this winding pathway in the valley and then back up on the other side to the high point of the city of Jerusalem and, of course, the Temple Mount, Jesus was making a statement that he is to be the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. That's why he comes into Jerusalem on Lambing Day. Yet, we still must wonder what the thousands upon thousands of people who were even gazing upon what was happening expected from Jesus. First of all, there were those who felt very much threatened by Jesus. They saw Jesus as the one who would destroy their power and their way of life. These were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. John chapter 12, verse 19, the Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, we're not succeeding at all. Look, the whole world is following him." There are others who anticipated that Jesus would finally be the political king who would free them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire. This is why many of them go to the nearby palm trees, cut off some of the branches, and as Jesus is making his way down that pathway, they start waving these palm branches. Every Jewish person who was in the city of Jerusalem would have known that the national symbol for the nation of Israel was the palm tree. And so in taking the palm branch and waving it, it's like you are waving it and honoring your king as your king is passing by. Not only that, we know that they take their cloaks and they lay their cloaks out on the pathway. I think, well, you know, I'd have to be pretty serious about doing that, because if I knew, took my jacket off and laid it on the ground, I'd have to go to the dry cleaners. Now, how much is that going to cost me? But imagine taking your cloak, laying it on so a donkey could trample over and you'd get all dirty and dusty. But yet the symbology there is we are laying the pathway. And in humility, we are saying our king is crossing through. But so many people were looking for a political king. Then, of course, there were the thousands who certainly just simply saw Jesus as a spectacle, as a curiosity. They had heard all these stories about people being healed from various illnesses. They had heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. Where's Lazarus? Okay, well, who is this person? What do we know about him? Some simply saw Jesus as a curiosity. But then certainly, there were those who were genuinely true followers of Christ. And what they saw in Christ is the hope of eternal salvation. As we look at the text here, Luke chapter 19, verse 37 and 38, the large crowd of his disciples began to thank God and praise him in loud voices for all the great things they had seen. God bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Bless him in heaven, and glory to God. And so, as you and I are here in the Lord's house on Palm Sunday, on what was in Jesus' day, Lambing Day, the time that the lamb was chosen as the final sacrifice for the Passover event, you and I must ask ourselves, what are we looking for as we seek out the Christ? Are we afraid of what we see in Jesus? Do we feel threatened? Is he threatening the kind of lifestyle we think we want to just keep on living because we just want to live our own lives? We don't want to follow God's will. Are we threatened? Do we see Jesus as the one who's going to come and solve all of our problems and form up a new government that's going to tell everybody what to do? But Jesus, you remember, he came to not rule over us, but to win over our hearts. Because it is in the winning over of hearts that people are compelled then to do what is truth, what is just, what is honorable, what is loving. Or are some of us simply looking to Jesus? Oh, he's kind of an interesting historical figure. I like to read up about him. Or are we genuinely looking for Jesus, recognizing he is the Son of God? He is the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin, that he is coming into town riding on a donkey of peace, that we may surely know of God's peace. Hopefully, we are experiencing the triumphant entry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, recognizing that through him, we are indeed saved. That's why out on the sign it says, Christ triumphant, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And so I ask you, do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is the day. I know you can come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. We're going to turn to our hymn number 479. We have heard a joyful sound. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. Onward song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
The fact that John and Mary Bermond have decided to come forward this morning and join our congregation. They've been kind of attending for a while. I think y'all kind of started about the time we were in that pandemic business, weren't y'all, as I remember, right? But we have certainly enjoyed your presence with us in the fellowship of Berry Christian Church. And we, again, hope you feel so very much welcomed here. And we are delighted to welcome you. And Central Christian Church, Springfield, Missouri, is where we'll be making the transfer of membership for you all, right?
Yes.
And it certainly has been our joy to have you present with us. And again, we know you all have made your confessions of faith, because I know I've visited with you all in your home, and you've been baptized. But again, I just want to ask you, again, as you have made that commitment, do you again affirm today that indeed Jesus is the Christ, as you claim the truth, that he is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. So, John, I want to extend to you the hand of Christian fellowship and welcome you into our fellowship. And Mary, bless you both. Bless you. So glad that both of you came forward. Let's give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. And a reminder, this afternoon, 3 o'clock, great weather, right? Almost like San Antonio weather out there. 3 o'clock, children and our youth, Easter egg hunt and a party. We're going to have a fun time. You know, adults, y'all can come and join us. You know, we can have fun together. You don't have to just come just because you got kids. You can come just because you want to be here and join us and have some fun time. So remember that. And also, please take a look at everything that's going on in the fellowship of the church this week. Monday, Thursday service on Thursday night. We're looking at our conclusion to the Passion of Christ. We're going to look at what's this thing called the Blood Moon? Because we've never talked about that before. We need to understand what that was all about. And of course, all the things happening on Easter Sunday. Many, many thanks for everyone who made contributions for the flowers. Looks like we've got plenty of resources to get those flowers picked up come Good Friday. We're going to be cutting up those flowers, getting them prepared on Saturday, 10 o'clock. Sunday morning, both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock services are. We'll have a cross here in the front in each service, and our children will come forward and transform the cross from a symbol of death to a symbol of life and resurrection. It's a fun opportunity for us to celebrate Easter and for our children to have a part of that, right? And with the number of children we had this morning, if we have that number next week, it's not going to take us long to get that cross flowered, is it? Right? Praise God. So thank you, and may we have a word of prayer. Lord God, as we depart from your house, your Spirit empowers us to experience the fullness of your presence and to recognize that Jesus is indeed the Christ who came on Lambing Day that we may indeed be redeemed of sin. Lord, for John and Mary and their willingness to come forward and become a part of our fellowship, we're indeed grateful. We pray your blessing to abide with each of us as we journey through Holy Week.
It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the closing song.
God, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our